Now we're headed to, if you want to mark your Bible, we're headed to 1 Samuel, with David and Goliath. We're going to show you how to use your soul tonight. But there's some things I want to say about the soul that I think need to be cleared up. Some things I want to say about your body that I think need to be cleared up. Your soul is not evil. Now, somewhat in some way along the line, we sort of taught that. Your body is not evil. And your spirit sometimes is not perfect. But the Bible talks about cleaning the filth out of your spirit. But you are born again in your spirit. You're a new creature in Christ, right? But I think we've been whipping upon our soul and whipping upon our bodies by misinterpretation of scriptures. And our body and our spirit need to, I'll give you three things that you need to do with all, we're talking about the total man here now. Because I think you can have part in and part out and you won't get the result that you need to get. And so we're going to talk about developing courage in our soul to cooperate with our spirit. I couldn't hardly get it out. Developing courage in our soul to cooperate with our spirit. Listen, because you might think you know what I'm saying, but I'm saying something different. Submission to the Holy Spirit must be in our spirit, soul, and body. Submission to the Holy Spirit must be our spirit, soul, and body. There's a term I'm going to use here now, alignment. Alignment. When a car is shimmering and jumping all over the road, that means it's out of alignment. And the guy put that balance on that wheel and check it, line it, and she'll run smooth. I've had that. So, alignment of your soul to the Spirit of God. The alignment of your soul to the Spirit of God. Now, so the total man, and as we speak about the soul, we're going to show you what David did. But there are three things you can be always thinking about. Number one, you're charging your spirit. In other words, you're giving your spirit energy, you're giving it fuel. When you're feeding it the Word of God, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're charging your spirit man. Like charging a battery, you're giving it more power. You can do that. You can do that by praying in the Spirit. You know what Jude 20 said? 1 Corinthians 14, talk about edifying. But the next statement is aligning your soul, getting your soul in line with the things of God. In other words, getting your emotion, your intellect, your memory, your imagination, and your will, all five of them in line. That's what your soul consists of. You can take the Word of God and get them in line. Then the third thing is discipline your body. Discipline your body. You see, we got the flesh and the body mixed up. The flesh is your lower nature. The Bible talks about the flesh. It's not talking about your body. It's talking about your lower nature because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And then the Lord tells us in Romans 12:1 to present our body to him as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. He's talking about worshiping God with our body. That's why he tells us to raise our hand, clap our hand. We can worship and praise God with our body. Now, they'll get out of wax if you don't know how to train them. See, remember now, you got to charge your spirit, align your soul, align all five aspects of your soul, and you have to discipline your body. Remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I bring my body under subjection. And so when he's talking in the 7th chapter of Romans about this man who want to do right and can't do right, it was a man who wasn't trained yet. You know, over in the 8th chapter of Romans, he's trained. Now he knew how to be led by the Spirit. And he know the difference, you see. And so the church have had problem, Christians have lived ungodly life because they don't know how to line themselves up properly in their soul and in their body. You can line your soul up, you can line your body up, and then you'll have the total man. Everybody say the total man.
Total.
Yeah, you see, you consist of three parts. And you'll have the total man walking with God. Now, the flesh, the Bible talks about the lust of the flesh. That's that lower nature. It's not really, sometimes it's used interchangeably, but it's just not really talking about your body. Your body is not just lustful. Something make it lustful. You know what I'm saying? And so you can train your body to be spiritual. Now, that it may not sound important, but that's so important because for so long the church have taught us, including myself, you know, that our body just, you know, just can't trust it. Well, if you're disciplined, you can trust it, but you're going to follow your spirit, see? All right. Now, let me go over a few things with you. You know, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, turn there quickly. That's a repeat. We're going back over some things. You know, we talked about a soul being out of control. And we began to teach you how to get your soul in control. See, a long time we thought the soul and the spirit were the same thing, but they're not. Right here in this text, you're going to prove that they're not. They're different entities. In 1 Thessalonians here, 5:23, and then we got Romans 12. You taking notes? All right, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Look what the Apostle Paul says here. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Sanctify? Well, holy, what do you mean holy? Not H-O-L-Y, W-H-O-L-L-Y, meaning the whole thing. So here he's saying, may the Lord sanctify your spirit, your soul, and your body. So if the Bible says God can sanctify, set apart my spirit, soul, and body, it can be set apart.
Yes,
would you agree with that? And so that's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on living godly, sanctified, holy lives. When you begin to do that, habits are broken. The enemy is brought to a halt because you are stronger than the enemy in Christ. And so he can't make you do nothing. So his man forte of your life, playing with your life, is deception. And so if you become functioning in the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God and the understanding of God, he can't deceive you. But I think the major fight we've been having is we have not known how to align our soul with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, with the things of God. And that's what we're going to deal with that. But then 1 Thessalonians 5:22, you see that because we've got to come to that total man. We've got to come to understand there's a total man we got to take care of. There's a total man we got to let the Holy Spirit take care of. There's a total man that will obey the Word of God. Your spirit and soul and body can be trained to obey the Word of God. It says, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. My goodness. A blameless body? A blameless soul? Unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. The Lord says, I'll do it. Amen. If you'll let me, I'll do it.
Amen.
And then you understand Romans 12, 1 through 3, don't you? Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, what you should read and observe, be not conformed, that it will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Then he said, man, not think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, because God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's the total man right there. That's your spirit, your soul, and your body right there. Okay? So we got that fact straight. Now, I say this to you, and the law of repeating things. Now, you know the five aspects of your soul. I taught them five doors, five gates. Tonight, I'm going to deal with them as five locks that you got to know how to open. But it's emotion, your feeling, intellect, your reasoning, and then your memory, and then your imagination. Now, if you got the meditation today, how many of y'all got the meditation today? You saw what we dealt with? Yeah, you need to go over and over and over that. Your meditation, then your will. Now, one of the things we've been missing is how to put our soul in action spiritually. How to put our soul in action. How our soul can cooperate with our spirit and our body, and they all work together. All right? You hear?
Yes, sir.
Let me say a few hot things I said to you. Until we possess this part of our being, our soul, we cannot possess anything else. Because the enemy, each time, he'll throw you off track. If you don't know, he'll throw you off track in your emotion, your feeling. He'll throw you off track in your intellect, your reasoning. Some kind of way he's going to throw you off track if you don't know how to possess your soul. Now, Luke 21:19 says, by your patience you possess your soul. I also said to you, the soul is where the deciding bout is fought for control over the human spirit. If our soul are completely surrendered to God, there's no limitation for God moving through our bodies and spirits. Knowing how to control or knowing how to align your soul with the Word of God is a place of peace, prosperity, and power in our lives. Keep listening. When we possess our soul and surrender them totally to God, God work in our spirit, there's no stopping us. When you understand that. Jesus had control over his soul. That's why he was he was a smooth operator. Now, I'll say this again. I'm repeating some things. I'll take a while to repeat. People who have total control over their soul have a power that few have ever attained. They have a power. They're strong. They're qualified for the supernatural. I think that's one of the tenets fact of the supernatural, that we didn't know that our soul can work with us. I wish somebody would say amen, glory to God, or hallelujah, or something. Or I'm just missing the whole thing. Say something. If you are willing to work hard to discipline both our soul and bodies, the enemy will not find any entrance into any part of our lives. How many of y'all think Jesus was an example for us? Jesus trained his soul the same way we can train ours through aligning each part of our soul completely with the Word of God. You got that? All right, let's go to work. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Just the great fight between David and Goliath. We're going to show you where David used every part of his soul to whip Goliath. And probably some things you haven't been whipping because you didn't know how to use your soul to whip it. Amen. Had two great Baptist preachers. I don't know if Brother Webb is still living as a Baptist boy preacher. I used to watch Scott Webb. He was the first pastor of First Baptist Church. I liked the way he laid the word out. He just laid it out. And then today, one of my, teachers is Charles Stanley. Yeah, Charles Stanley is a great man. He's a great teacher. And as a Baptist boy, they taught me. Listen to them and read their stuff because they're real sharp. Here's a well-known example of a fully trained soul that produced miraculous results with David with Goliath. He's a fully trained soul, and he used all five of his soul senses. I got to praying and asking the Lord, what is my spiritual senses? He said, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, and consecration. You know, you might find some more, but that's fine with me. Glory to God. You know your body got five senses. Here, we're going to find on this text, we're going to look at the scripture and open it. David's soul was strongly aligned to God and his word in order for this victory against Goliath to be obtained. I never know David used his soul to stand up against Goliath. And so when you see this, why many giants are not falling in our life is we're trying to do it all with our spirit. Old nasty body, sinful body, and the soul, you know, it can't help me none. And that's what Satan wants us to believe. Satan really wants you to believe you low down. You low down. Oh, yeah, yeah. You can sit there like you're all innocent. He wants you to believe. He'll mess with your mind. You know he messed with your mind. All of y'all have bad thoughts. Hallelujah. Notice here in this great challenge, you've had challenges in your life, right? Yes. All right, look, notice, and I'm not going to read the whole story because I got to deal with what we got to deal with. In the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, in the 26th verse, you know, Goliath's coming out there and he's rare and he's tall and he's strong and he challenged the whole army. 26th verse, and David spake to the man that stood by him saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the army of the living God? Now, David is just a little lad, you see. But here, David got emotional about this thing. In his soul, he got emotional. And you can hear the anger and the indignation and contempt in David's response to this threat. Goliath come out and say, who? Come take me. One of y'all come here and take me. And David was just coming to bring some food to his brother. But he heard that man. He said, who is this? And then his emotion, somebody need to do something about Goliath. Somebody needs to do something about that Goliath in your life. That thing that just don't want to settle down and let you have the joy and the peace that God wants you to have. And you guess who got to do something about it? You got to do something about it. There's such a thing as called a holy anger. And it's emotional. I mean, I don't have no friendship with sin. First of all, I know sin trying to take you to hell. And I know it can destroy people's lives, destroy marriage, destroy everything. Destroy young men's lives, young women's lives. So I don't have no, I'm like David. I got an anger and an indignation against people leading people wrong. It says compared to the fear everyone else had, everybody was scared. Notice what he told his brother in verse 29. He's angry. And then David said, his brother trying to tell him, settle down, man. You know, ain't nobody here can handle this. Well, you come here, you know you can't handle this. Settle down. But David has spent some time with God. Now, if you get this thing, you're going to do some whipping after the night, see? Because you're going to be stronger. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Shouldn't I do something? This man just making a mocker of God. In my family? Is there anybody in the family can do something about this? And that's what I want to train you to be mature enough to be the one in the family. Say, hold a minute, I can do something about this. I can stop this. Because it looked impossible. But David said, what is this? What's going on here? His boldness. was rooted in the righteous cause of standing for God and for his people honor. All of that came through his emotion. So he opened one door of his soul. He became, let me use this, spiritually emotional. Because the anger come, just like Jesus went in with that whip that time. Yeah. Now look at verse 32. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, they all were scared, the king and all, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of Goliath. Watch, he use his will now. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. See, David pulling power out of his soul. His spirit always in tune to God, but now he's using his soul. That's why I told you these five doors are so important. Now notice verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. While everyone else was standing around for 40 days, David made a decision. Somebody got to make a decision. Somebody got to make a decision. Somebody got to make a decision that God is greater than what I'm dealing with. Somebody got, listen to me, somebody got to stop trusting themselves. Somebody got to stop quoting scriptures and start living them. He used his word and made a clear choice. I will go and fight him. But his will there now. David had a will to trust God. He had a will to do something nobody else would do. Huh? David was all up in his soul. He got emotional and then he said, I'll go. You have to understand that when you're trusting God, you make decisions. You make decisions you can't handle. My. You see, that's what we should be doing. We should be making decisions we can't handle. You follow what I'm saying? And it give God a chance now. The Bible said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro up down the earth, looking for somebody whose heart is perfect toward him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. Somebody who is not afraid. But I see that man is using his soul. Now watch what he do now. He's going to use his memory now. Watch. In the 33rd verse now, watch this. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear. Remember. Have God ever brought you through something you couldn't handle yourself? You better remember that, but the next time you attack, you better rehearse that and speak it out. God, you did this for me. Man, God done brought me so through so many impossible situations. My back against the wall, I couldn't do nothing about it, but I stepped forward anyway. You have to remember what God has done for you. There's some things God have done for you nobody else know about. It's not their business. But you see, that memory in your soul charges you up. I didn't do it last time. So I think I'm going to take the word of God and some faith, and I'm going to face this just like I faced that other thing. You see it? is being missed because we think our soul is trash. And we've been thrashing our soul and whipping our soul instead of getting our soul aligned with the Word of God, and it becomes strong. You have a strong soul. Whoa. Have strong emotion about righteousness. Strong feeling about righteousness. Stop that mug from mugging you. Stop that thief. Come on, sit down. Let me try to read this. We're dealing with the third part. We're dealing with the memory here. 33rd verse. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth and a man, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went, verse 35, and I went out after him. Probably got angry that time. And smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. So he said, look at what he said in verse 36 now. In Judah's memory now. Huh? You say, I just want to use my spirit in me. That's why you've been getting whooped. You're supposed to use it all. Suppose you don't have a word of wisdom. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, as the Spirit will, suppose you don't have a word of knowledge, but you got a memory. Maybe God haven't brought none of y'all out of nothing. Maybe God never had to forgive you for anything. Notice what he said in 36 verse. You with me? Thy servant. Look, you take credit for it. He don't care. Because God do through you. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Now David knew he didn't slew it himself on his own strength. But he takes accreditation because God let him have it. Because he did the right thing. He remembered God. God did it for him. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he have defied the army of the living God. Every time something go wrong in your life, it's Satan defying the blood of Jesus. And you got to get angry and put it back out. Draw that blood back out and say, nope. It's not going to happen. David didn't even have the blood of Jesus. Whoop Goliath. And sometimes we let midget whoop us. David, get this. Make a note of this now. And I want you to practice this. David, memory of past victories, gave him the courage to face the upcoming battle. Hallelujah. Let me say it again because I don't think you've heard it. Because it's the Lord, listen to what I'm saying. The Lord dropping something right in your lap right now that will bless you the rest of your life. Are you following me? David's memory of past victories gave him the courage to face the upcoming battle. Because he told Goliath, you're going to be just like them. Just what I did to that lion, just what I did to that bear, you're going to get the same thing. You know, David ran toward Goliath. And when he said that, he said it became a momentum, billing agent to cause him to run to the battle, to defeat an enemy who seemed impossible to defeat. Who seemed impossible to defeat. What you dealing with? What you working with? Who seemed impossible to defeat. Who seemed cancer. Who seemed impossible to defeat. Sugar diabetes. Who seemed impossible to defeat. Lack. insufficient, who seemed impossible to beat. Poverty, who seemed impossible. Trouble in your home, who seemed trouble in your marriage, who seemed seemed. The Lord is training us to face, He wants us to mature, He's equipping us to face the impossible. Face the impossible with possibility on our mind. But you see, your soul working with you now. You're knowing how to work with your soul. You're knowing how to renew your soul. How to let the Lord restore your soul. Let that power come out. Let that memory be you. And that's what He did. And it picked up a momentum. He got to think about he knew he didn't do that line. He knew he didn't, but he did it. So you know why he didn't, how he did it, because it was the Lord. And when he was talking, David took off running. That momentum, it gave him courage. Give him. He said, I'm going to see this again. Many times, I've come against things. And I say, oh, God, about to do it again. Actually, you don't like it, but I get excited with it. You must never lag in defeat another day in your life. You're actually undefeatable. What God has done for you and what God has given to you have placed you in the zone of undefeatable. The church need to hear this. The internet listener needs to hear this. The Roku listener, they need to hear this. You're actually undefeatable if you use the taller man. People running from the enemy. He ran toward Goliath. Run toward some of your trouble. Scare the hell out of it. Run toward it. Run toward it. Scare the hell out of it. But you're dealing with the devil. That's why it's from hell. You know, that had to have some effect on that man. Bigger that man was and what a warrior he was. And yet this boy coming, running with a slingshot. He either crazy or he knows something. Don't ever be bluff another day in your life, no matter what come against you. If you think you have done something wrong, repent quickly and cry for mercy and go for it. Think about it. Tonight, I'm going to go a little further, but think about it. What God is. God is maturing you. He's equipping you to use the weapons He has given to you. Not just a little story to see a little boy kill a giant. No. This is showing you that God, if God for you, giants got to fall. But on the other hand, the 12 spies went in. Those guys were so scared, they began to see themselves as grasshoppers. The people didn't say they were grasshoppers. They called themselves grasshoppers. The people knew they was the army of God. They were afraid of them. Challenges are made to have. You're going to have challenges. Sit down. You can just sit down. they're fabricated for you to have. They're built. All right, let's go. We've got two more parts, right? Who came up with me? We've used what? David have used what? What happened? He got angry, didn't he? What else he used? His will. What, he made a choice? Huh? You say, I'll fight him. And then he used what else? His memory. See? That's three doors of the soul been opened right there. One of the greatest stories in the Bible. One boy knew the jawbone of an ass. Look at the 39th verse. My God, that's a more thing I want to say. Courage. 38-39 verse. And Saul armed David with his armor. You know, that's where we try to put on too much stuff. We try to trust too many other people beside God. See, we want some physical assurance. Look like this will work. That's the very thing going to fail you. I've been there before. Look like this don't work. You know, one time in ministry, I thought it was the collar. So I bought every collar. I bought the black collar with the little white, the blue. I had the blue collars. But they ain't changed my ministry. But I thought it was the collar, man. I was getting everything I could get my hand on. I didn't know ministry didn't work from the outside. I bought everything I could get my hand on. But that wasn't what I needed. I needed to spend time with God and let God train me. I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. See, because you're learning how to win here. See, the 38th verse says, And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a hammer of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Now listen, why we lose some time? We try to use something that we haven't tested. If David would have wore that uniform, we wouldn't have this lesson tonight. Goliath would have ate him up, because his trust would have been in the armor that Saul gave him, and not in God. Let's see what it says here. Now, here's your intellect, your reasoning. David knew that these weapons would not be effective for him because he had no experience with them. Got it? He knew in combat you should be familiar with your weapons. In the name of, I'm familiar with this weapon now. In the name of Jesus. I'm familiar with that weapon, you know. Huh? Then you go on and on. So he considered, there's intellect, he considered these facts, watch out now, watch what I'm about to say, and reasoned that the weapon he knew how to use would be enough with God on his side. Use what you know how to use. Now, this will make you more of an effective word person. I think this apostolic anointing is taking us places we've never been before. And there are some things I study now, even in books, you know. But Paul said, bring the books and parchment. So I get a lot of information out of books where people have got revelation, and I don't mind it. My dad trained me like that. He preached Smith Wigglesworth stuff like he was Smith Wigglesworth. But, you know what I'm saying, try to invent no new wheel. You know. And you got to be anointed. Like if you mess with the anointed man stuff and just try to, it ain't going to work because it came out of the anointing. So he considered these facts and reasoned that the weapon he knew how to use would be enough with God. Now, he ain't talking about a little slingshot, but that's what he knew how to use. Naturally, it is impossible for that to happen. Let's look at the imagination now in verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him or disrespect him, for he was but a youth and ruddy. David was a good looking boy, you know, and of a fair countenance. He said, little sweet boy coming out here messing with me. I'm going to tear his head off. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh. You better be ready unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel, whom thou, watch what he said now, whom thou hast defied. In other words, when you mess with me, come on, do it. When you mess with me, you're messing with God. And you're in trouble. Now, you have to know that. You have to know that. The enemy have to know you know that. I'm not talking about fighting people. I'm talking about dealing with the issue, dealing with the one who's behind it. Look what David said. David said, you don't know, you messing with me. It's like what Dan said. Dan said when Dan, my son, in Richmond, he has a large church, and he was following certain men. Then the Lord told me to ask him, and he started following my minister, and he became a son of mine. And he said he was on a project. You heard it. He said he was on a project, and he said the enemy didn't know. The enemy was trying to hit his anointed, but the enemy didn't know my anointed was sitting there with him and just pushed that thing on through. And that's what we got to recognize the fact. Look, God Almighty. We got to recognize the fact of Romans 8:31. I said Romans 8:31. Turn your Bible there. If God is for us. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon. Those two good verses. Romans 8:31. Isaiah 54:17. You have to know this word. I came into grip of this word some months back in reading, maybe a few years ago. I've read so much. But having divine backup. I love that. You recognize you have divine backup. That means nothing is impossible to happen in your life as long as you trust on your backup. With the wind of the Holy Ghost at your back. With the seal of the blood of Jesus. You're going to have some challenges. I'm going to tell you right now. How far did I read? I need to read some more. What voice I stopped on? What voice I need to read now? 46. I'm right? Yes, this day will the Lord deliver thee in my hand. Notice what he said. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and unto the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there's a God in the arrow. That all the earth may know there's a God in the arrow. Wherever you're from. Good God Almighty. That all the earth, everybody may know that there's a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord. He's talking to Goliath now. He said, he will give you into our hand. You got to listen. Sit down. You got to listen to this now. With that statement, with those voices, here's what happened. Here's the transactional aspect of it. Everything David saw in the natural was contrary to what he saw in his mind. Saw this big man standing there, but he saw something else on the inside. See, it had a giant from the outside facing a giant from the inside. Remember, if I can say it, give a session, make a word up, your gianthood is on the inside. You crowned with victory on the inside. So it's no matter what you face and how big it look, it's not bigger than you on the inside. Everything David saw in the natural was contrary to what he saw in his mind, but he still saw it so vividly and spoke it boldly. Goliath was big on the outside, but his imagination was small on the inside. The battle does not belong to the bigger warrior, but to the bigger imagination on the inside of the warrior. A lot of things you enjoy now, I imagine those things. This church, I sit there and I see it. I come sit on the empty lot and see it. Sit in my car, talk to the Lord and see it. And just see people getting out of their car. We had 7 coaches here at camp meeting. I didn't say buses, I said coaches. 7. They took pictures of it. One day we're going to look at it and look at it again. A few minutes now. Let's look at the perfect alignment of David's soul to the Spirit of God. The goal of the soul is to be unlocked like a combination lock. You unlock it. See, he unlocked it. He kept unlocking it. David was talking to 3 people. He was talking to himself. He was talking to God. And he was talking to Goliath. Now, where all the numbers, combination lock, where all the numbers are lined up so precisely that the Spirit of God can be released through our being in a moment of notice. You see, and so now we have to take care of our emotion. We have to recognize our intellect is involved here. Now, we are spirit being, you understand? We are led by the Spirit, but the soul, say for instance, Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. Now, I always interpret that one way, that he had to separate the soul from the spirit in order that the spirit can do it. But no, it's saying the word of God can divide the spirit and it can divide the soul. Your soul is not evil. Your body is not evil. Your flesh is evil. When Paul got to arguing in Romans chapter 7 about how he couldn't do this, he said, oh, I see what it is. It's sin operating in me. See, once you find it out, you find out that you don't have to trip. You can put everything in your total man under God charge. Well, this is news. This is news, you know. Good news. And it's biblical proven. Because he told me, present holy, my spirit, soul, and body, in 1 John 5:23. Then he said the same thing in Romans 12:1-3. Then this combination lock, if I'm going to get in the real power, God not going to do everything. I got to do something. I got to apply my faith. Huh? I got to renew. I got to get my mind renewed. Huh? I got to pull out stronghold. Huh? I got to cast down evil imagination. I got to cast that down. Then I got to be captivate all truth and bring it into obedience. I got to do that. God ain't going to do that for me. I got to do that. He'll help me if I start out. You know, I do a lot of reading. Let me tell you something. If you're going to be real successful in the things of God and successful in life, there are going to be some failures. Every successful person has traveled through some failure. Failures are a lesson. Get up, dust yourself off, and go at it again. God can't fail. But you and I can. So maybe some, I need to say this because the Spirit of God, maybe something you've been working on and it haven't come out right. That's okay. It's okay. All successful people. See, we look at people when they arrive. You don't know how long they've been arriving. Possibilities. God says to me, me and my boys flying, we're going to look at this last jet, and this jet is too strong for us in the natural, but I got it in my spirit. And so we're flying in the air, and my boy's sleeping. I prayed in tongue a while, laid back. God says, I'm going to give you that plan. And he asked me a few questions, what I'm going to do. If I'm obey. I say, yeah, Lord, you know I obey. He said, all right, that's your plan. I go there, and the man said, hey, I'm going to take this off. I said, it's the only offer I'm making. Now, I tell you, Leroy and I got in the hangar and got a little afraid because that thing was so big in the hangar. I said, my God, this thing big. You know, you got to keep it up. It got to go to a shop. It might be $500,000 on one inspection. It don't come to one every 14 years, but it happened to 14 years of next year. But you know, Lord said, so it was like fighting Goliath. And so, man, I still don't know. In the natural. And ministers all in the world now scratching their head, they don't know how either. But God did it. See, you got to be willing to take a calculated risk. It's already calculated, you see. God will take care of it. You can't just sit back tomorrow. One day it's going to happen. No, jump out there. Yeah, I got to close. Let me. David's soul was in such alignment. And because his soul was in such alignment, as David released these words from his spirit, the Spirit of God shot through his soul and flooded his body with such an energy that he bolted all running straight at the giant. See, now you're going to have bolts shot through your soul. See? Then you're going to activate your body. Then you're going to have the total man under God. Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right, it says his arm was flooded with that Sam strength. And he didn't miss a beat. And he reached into his pouch, pulled out a rock, set it in a sling, whipped it around, and released it with pinpoint accuracy. Straight to the bull's eye. The forehead of Goliath. See, God was in the wind, in the rock, in the sling, in his arm. One writer said, people try to say that David had hit a spot where Goliath Hammett was not protecting him. But you can't say that for sure. But there had to be a force on that rock that was more than natural. How many of y'all believe that? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The forehead part of the skull is quite tough. And on a giant, it would have to be thicker than on a normal human. Now the crack, the skull with a rock is one thing, but to totally pierce and penetrate the forefront of a skull with a rock like a bullet seem highly impossible. What's going to happen at your next battle? I mean, I can't really tell you. I try to tell you. I thought I could have a real unction how to tell you about this plan, because that plan was a Goliath. Yeah, I mean, because it was so huge, and the amount was so way up in the million. We left out of Darrow. Not Las Vegas. I think there's a grand statement here. If people knew that rock from Shepherd's Sling could do that kind of damage easily, why weren't they used in battle more often? But they wasn't trusting God. David was trusting God. And they didn't believe the giant was dead until David said, "Wait, I'm gonna show you dead." David cut his head off. Sometimes you got to show the spars from the battle. What a fight. Let me give you this one more time. It was released into David's spirit, gained momentum through David's perfectly aligned soul, flooded into his body, overflowed through his hand, and was finally released into that same stone that was propelled as such a force to pierce the giant skull. You heard that? See, the same power that was in David's spirit and in David's soul shot through his body to give him strength, and the power got in the rock. The Lord said to Moses, "Lord, you brought me out here, and I got all these people behind me. How in the world am I going to get across this Red Sea?" The Lord said, "Use the rod you got in your hand." And when Moses decided by faith to use that rod, the power shot in that rod to get the water attention. And the water had to obey. When he stretched that rod, the water had to obey. This is crazy, man. It don't make no sense. It don't make no sense. Not normally. But God, that's the way God worked. Well, I got to close here. We'll get back on it. There's a lot of more things I want to share with you about having this courage. Defeat is never a viable option for the person of courage. We're going to deal with that. Courageous people recall past victories and God's faithfulness. Are you hearing me? Courage is a result of having the right attitude. Courageous people look to God and trust his guardian. Genuine courage is not chilled by inner fear or outward difficulty. Let me give you that one again. Genuine courage. Courage you done got from the word of God in your spirit, in your soul, and it's flooded in your body now. Genuine courage is not chilled by inner fears or outward difficulties. Good God Almighty. A courageous person apply resources at hand in creative ways. On and on and on. A person with the attribute of courage confronts an opponent with confidence that he will utterly succeed. See, we need to hear all of them. I'll break all of them down. We need to break them down in our next section. Hallelujah. Lord is good. Lord is good. I pray that you take that information and put it in use. With this type of teaching the Holy Spirit giving us through many avenues, I don't have to worry about you. I can sleep at night. Nothing like knowing how to fend for yourself. That's our job, to equip the body of Christ. And that's what the Lord is doing. All right? All right. You watching by internet, you watching by Roku, we're about to receive an offering.